so you give them a fighting chance at success. So help your child succeed and prepare them for back to school properly. That's from the Platteville Public Library, because they care about your child's education. For more information on study and reading programs for your kids, call 785-2231 and get your kids properly prepared for back to school. The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, good morning. This is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And as usual on Friday, we have with us Andrew Skousen, who's going to bring us up to date on what's going on. Certainly his dad writes the World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen, and Andrew gives us a summary of the major stories in the news. Because you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the media is rigidly controlled. Of the news you're getting, it certainly is filtered and slanted. Andrew, pick up the story. What are we going to be covering this morning?
Well, Dr. Stan, the top story this morning is about the Ebola virus. Joel asked, how big a threat is it? Well, the Ebola virus has infected hundreds of people in three West African countries, Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Neighboring and even non-neighboring countries are now very worried about the spread of the disease. But how big is the threat? Well, it's a big threat in Africa, Joel says, but I don't think it's going to break out big here in the States. Despite two patients who were flown into the U.S. and currently undergoing treatment in an Atlanta hospital and are under careful quarantine. Both are reportedly in stable condition. The hospital won't give out any information other than there are no surprises, which means little, so only time will tell. As with most high-profile diseases, the fears are probably overblown. This is a very serious disease, with death occurring in less than a month. Some claim the death rate could reach as high as 80%, but this is probably exaggerated. It is currently around 45%, but will go up as the disease matures. Even at 50%, it is very worrisome. The overreaction, however, to this fear by African authorities and our own government in a similar scenario, by grouping suspected infected people together and mandating preliminary drugs or vaccines, could adversely affect more people's lives than the disease itself. The Associated Press describes Ebola virus, quote, there is no known cure for Ebola, which begins with symptoms including fever and sore throat and escalates to vomiting, diarrhea, and internal bleeding. The disease spreads through direct contact with blood and other bodily fluids, as well as indirect contact with, quote, environments contaminated with such fluids, end quote, according to the World Health Organization, end quote. While its transmittal characteristics don't seem to be anywhere near as communicative as the Spanish flu of 1918, neither do they seem quite as isolated as HIV, which is normally grouped in the same category, requiring actual body fluid contact. Ebola seems to be somewhere in between. The CDC is claiming that it couldn't be transmitted by air or by sneezing, but we wonder if that's true, considering that saliva is infected. Dr. Brantley, one of the U.S. citizens at Atlanta who was sick took great precautions not to come into contact with body fluids of patients he was treating, and he still came down with Ebola. Even still, the 1,700 deadly cases reported so far in Africa is small compared to the yearly deaths from regular flu, where weakened people die from other complications. So this is not a major pandemic yet. It may accelerate with time, especially since few have any natural immunity to it. Liberia is closing its borders and trying to quarantine those infected with the virus, but the quarantine measures mandated by local governments in Liberia and elsewhere are causing panic and giving perverse incentives for families to get rid of the sick. This from Reuters. Quote, relatives of Ebola victims in Liberia defied government orders and dumped infected bodies in the streets as West African governments struggled to enforce tough measures to curb an outbreak of the virus that has killed 887 people. In Nigeria, which recorded its first death from Ebola in late July, authorities in Lagos said eight people who came in contact with the deceased U.S. citizen Patrick Sawyer were showing signs of the deadly disease. In neighboring Sierra Leone and Liberia, where the outbreak is now spreading fastest, authorities deployed troops to quarantine the border areas where 70% of cases have been detected. Those three countries announced a raft of tough measures last week to contain the disease, shutting schools and imposing quarantines on victims' homes amid fears the incurable virus would overrun healthcare systems in one of the world's poorest regions. In Liberia's ramshackle oceanfront capital, Monrovia, still scarred by a 1989 to 2003 civil war, relatives of Ebola victims were dragging bodies onto the dirt streets rather than face quarantine. Information Minister Lewis Brown said some people may be alarmed by regulations imposing the decontamination of victims' homes and the tracking of their friends and relatives. With less than half of those infected surviving the disease, many Africans regard Ebola isolation wards as death traps. End quote. Joel says, yes, the grouping of potentially infected people together is bad policy and is bound to make people panic and take evasive action, just as reported. USA Today tried to soothe the public here about the two U.S. citizens brought back to Emory University Hospital in Atlanta at a special isolation unit. They said, quote, as an Atlanta hospital prepares to accept two U.S. aid workers infected with Ebola, officials are confident the patients, who represent the first time anyone infected with Ebola has been brought into the country, can be treated without putting the public in danger, end quote. But it doesn't help our confidence that Dr. Kent Brantley and Nancy Reitbull, who were serving in Liberia's medical missionaries, were employing full-body protective suits and respirators while treating victims of Ebola. They still got sick. We're trying to figure out what went wrong because he was always very careful, said Tolbert Nyenzwa, an assistant health minister in Monrovia. Part of that may be attributed to the debilitating stress they endure while wearing a non-breathable suit for up to 3 hours a shift, three times a day in a hot climate. Doctors and nurses lose quarts of body fluid and sweat and take a few hours to recover and rehydrate. But over time, it wears them down. Dr. Grantley admitted that he had become exhausted because of the use of these anti-contamination suits. That kind of exhaustion may well play a major role in compromising the immune system. Transmission through the air the doctors and nurses breathe should still not be ruled out. And then there is the issue of the experimental serum being given to the two American patients at Emory. Arthur Kaplan of the Washington Post asked, why do two white Americans get the Ebola serum while hundreds of Africans die? He gives the answers, too. Quote, what should happen if a massive viral outbreak appears out of nowhere and the only possible treatment is an untested drug? And who should receive it? The two American missionaries who contracted the almost always fatal virus in West Africa were given access to an experimental drug cocktail called ZMAP, ZMAPP. It consists of immune-boosting monoclonal antibodies that were extracted from mice exposed to bits of Ebola DNA. It's an opportunity the 900 Africans who've died so far never have. Is there a case to spend ethical norms to buy such a baby?
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Dan here at the American Feeding Network, our guest is Andrew Skousen. And Andrew, you pick up the story about the Ebola virus and the Ebola epidemic.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, Arthur Kaplan of the Washington Post is discussing why these experimental serums are being delivered to the two white patients at the U.S. hospital and not being delivered en masse to the African country. He says, the two American missionaries who contracted the almost always fatal virus in West Africa were given access to an experimental drug cocktail. It consists of immune-boosting monoclonal antibodies that were extracted from mice exposed to bits of Ebola DNA. It's an opportunity the 900 Africans who died so far never had. Is there a case to suspend ethical norms if lives might be saved by deploying an experimental drug? Before this outbreak, VMAP had only been tested on monkeys. MAP, M-A-P-P, the tiny San Diego-based pharmaceutical company that makes the drug, stated 2 years ago, when administered 1 hour after injection, all animals survived. Two-thirds of the animals were protected, even when the treatment known as VMAP was administered 48 hours after infection. But privileged humans were always going to be the first ones to try it. VMAP requires a lot of refrigeration and careful handling, plus close monitoring by experienced doctors and scientists. Better to try it at a big urban hospital than in rural West Africa where no such infrastructure exists. With an untested drug, there is always a chance you will kill the first human subject who might otherwise have lived, end quote. Some people are just anxious for Big Pharma to come up with a quote-unquote solution to every outbreak. But those who have more trust in natural health solutions are more concerned about how the U.S. is prepared to invoke draconian emergency measures on its people if there is a pandemic. Too often, government heavy-handed methods interfere with people's rights not to take a drug or interfere with their own preparations to evade communication. Infowars.com had this report, quote, in response to the Ebola virus scare, Obama issued an executive order declaring his authority to apprehend and detain anyone who merely shows signs of, quote, respiratory illness, end quote. The CDC already has emergency measures in place to quarantine well people who, quote, do not show any symptoms, end quote, of disease. Additionally, under the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, public health authorities and governors will be given authority to seize control of communications devices and private property in the name of protecting public health. Isn't it nice to know that they care so much about our health and safety? end quote. Joel says, I, for one, would not want to be suspected of being sick and thrust into a holding hospital with hundreds of other Ebola patients. John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com is suspicious about the typical mainstream scare tactics that are used to drive people into government-mandated medical remedies and vaccines. He says, quote, now that the world has been put on notice about Ebola, it's time to try facts instead of scare tactics. The World Health Organization is the primary reporting agency on case numbers and deaths. Taking their stats with a few grains of salt, but recognizing that mainstream accounts come from WHO, here is their July 25th update. Ebola virus disease, West Africa. 1,201 total cases, 672 deaths. These numbers cover Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, the Ebola focus areas. Looking a little deeper, we see that World Health Organization divides each number into categories confirmed, probable, and suspected. Diagnostic methods for IDing Ebola in those three countries are uncertain. Therefore, we should only consider the category labeled confirmed. And even then, we should have doubts. It's 814. Confirmed number of deaths, 456. Now consider another World Health Organization report. This one is titled Influenza Seasonal World Health Organization, dated April 2009. Annual number of severe cases, 3 to 5 million. Annual number of deaths, between 250,000 and 500,000 every year. When it comes to seasonal regular flu, the World Health Organization issues no scare reports, no dire warnings, and the press mentions nothing, end quote. Joel says, well, that's not quite true. In fact, those numbers are often used to drum up a scare campaign for people to get the flu shot, which, in our opinion, doesn't do very much good and is often more damage than it's worth. Continuing the quote of Rappaport, we hear about possible travel restrictions. In the U.S., portable disease diagnosing machines have been passed out to many local communities. There are rumors about detaining people who may have come in contact with somebody who may have Ebola. But again, there are 3 to 5 million cases every year of regular seasonal flu, and according to the WHO, between 250,000 and 500,000 people die from it, and the world does nothing. People would respond, oh, but you see, Ebola is different. People hemorrhage, they bleed out and die. It's horrible. Ebola is a propaganda operation. Choices are being made, what to emphasize, what to ignore, what to use in order to invoke fear. Producing fear one way or another is a standard element in exerting top-down control over the population. When people are afraid, they're compliant, obedient to authority, and that's the agenda, end quote. Joel says, well, while that may not yet be the real agenda, one has to worry that the CDC holds a patient on a particular strain of Ebola. Natural News says that, quote, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control owns a patent. Sorry, not a patient, but owns a patent on a particular strain of Ebola. Natural News reported that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control owns a patent on a particular strain of Ebola known as Ebobun. It's patent number CA2741523A1, and it was awarded in 2010, end quote. Joel says that could portend that they are trying to develop a vaccine for that strain, or that it developed in their lab as a new strain. Something I have real problems with. It smacks of biological warfare, which we know our own government and others have experimented with. Biowarfare is a very dangerous game because without an antidote, it becomes a very indiscriminate killer, and even its inventors are at risk. While I am not accusing anyone at this stage of having invented this virus for biowarfare reasons, it has been documented that some of the elite in the global conspiracy do believe in a large-scale depopulation of the world. Here's a quote from Ted Turner, a devout globalist. He once shocked an audience with the statement, quote, a total population of about 250 to 300 million people, a 90% decline, would be ideal, end quote. Deborah Tavares was there to record it. According to Daniel Estulin in The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, on page 37 and 42, on November the 17th of 2008, Zbigniew Brzezinski, a New World Order proponent and a founder of the Rockefeller-controlled Trilateral Commission, gave a speech to British elite at Chatham House and said, quote, I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered by the British Foreign Service repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than control a million people. End quote. Another quote, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, end quote, anonymously commissioned Georgia Guidestone. And eerily similar to this Club of Rome, Goals for Mankind, quote, the resultant ideal sustainable population is hence more than 500 million, but less than 1 billion, end quote. Well, we'll have to see how this Ebola virus works out, Dr. Stan. Moving on to the next story, back to war in Iraq. Yesterday, Obama authorized airstrikes inside Iraq under the excuse of stopping genocide and protecting U.S. personnel. He also authorized, without congressional approval, airdrops of food and water to religious minorities. He doesn't want to say Christians. In northern Iraq that have been conquered or put under siege by ISIS forces this week. From a military standpoint, you can't do targeting airstrikes in a fluid war situation without spotters on the ground or close spotters in the air. And that means the U.S. has men near or on the ground of these combat areas. Well, we'll watch how that story develops. Meanwhile, a comment on the missing 28 pages of the 9/11 report. Joel says, disinformation. Kentucky Republican Congressman Thomas Massey told the Glenn Beck Show that Walter Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, and Stephen Lynch, a Democrat from Maine, are sponsoring a bill to declassify some 28 pages of the 9/11 report. Joint inquiry into intelligence community activities before and after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Massey says he and other congressmen were allowed to read the report under conditions that they not tell even other members of Congress about its content. He says investigators found, quote, information suggesting specific sources of foreign support for some of the September 11th hijackers while they were in the United States, end quote, and feels that all Americans should have the right to read these redacted pages. Massey told BenSwan.com, that to read the report, he had to sit in a soundproof room and not take any notes. Quote, it is sort of shocking when you read it. As I read it, we all had our own experience. I had to stop every couple of pages and absorb and try to rearrange my understanding of history for the past 13 years and the years leading up to that. It challenges you to rethink everything, unquote, he said at a press conference while discussing the bill. Massey told Glenn Beck that, quote, if we're going to use 9/11 as a motivation to get involved in these civil wars in the Middle East, the American public and the lawmakers in Washington need to read these pages and understand what truly caused 9/11 and who our friends are and who our enemies are, end quote. But what Massey doesn't realize is that he's reading partial truth and nothing close to the real truth. Other whistleblowers have testified that the 9/11 investigation revealed extensive support for the hijackers by Saudi Arabia, including paying for their housing and expenses in San Diego. That is likely part of what Massey read. But what the classified pages don't tell you is that the Saudis are doing all this at the behest of the U.S. government, the dark side, who is running the entire operation. These pages are classified only because the government doesn't want Congress trying to find out who is behind the Saudi initiative to support the hijackers. Someone with large aircraft, like Saudi Arabia, was also behind the flight training of the hijackers, who weren't the ones the government named, who could have never learned to fly these huge airliners at a Cessna flight school, as is reported in the official government line. As I published a few years ago in the World Affairs Brief, a new book from a man tasked by the government to help investigate the 9/11 attacks unveils how the official story is almost entirely untrue. Paul Joseph Watson of PrisonPlanet.com has the story. Quote, the senior counsel to the 9/11 Commission, John Farmer, says that the government agreed not to tell the truth about 9/11, echoing the assertions of fellow 9/11 Commission members who concluded that the Pentagon was engaged in deliberate deception about the response to the attack. Farmer's book about his experiences working for the Commission is entitled The Ground Truth, The Story Behind America's Defense on 9/11, and is set to be released in September, back in 2009. The book unveils how, quote, the public has been seriously misled about what occurred during the morning of the attack, end quote. And Farmer himself states that, quote, at some level of the government, at some point in time, there was an agreement not to tell the truth about what happened, end quote. Many of the relevant records remain classified when the report was written, and the ground truth of the day was further obscured by the fundamentally false version of events that the government presented to Congress, the Commission, and the public, end quote. Well, meanwhile, switching over to Gaza, Joel asked, is the Gaza fight ending? As I predicted, Israel has pulled its ground troops out of the Gaza Strip unilaterally, declaring victory at least over the tunnels they claim to have destroyed. But Hamas is still very much intact and capable of a fight. The Israelis did not, however, destroy all the tunnels in Rafah at the Egyptian border, where most of the arms are coming through the quote-unquote closed border with Egypt. As usual, Egypt was being handed the role as mediator in trying to come up with a formal truce that will be agreed upon by Hamas. So far, Hamas isn't showing any signs of accepting a truce without Israel agreeing to end the blockade. Haaretz reports this from Israel, quote, Hamas, Palestinian envoys in Cairo, continue to insist that the blockade on Gaza be fully lifted and that an agreement be reached over the establishment of seaports and airports and the opening of border crossings. The Egyptian mediators are attempting to soften the demand. Egyptian officials say that the seaport demand, just like the Israeli demand that Gaza be demilitarized, should be discussed as part of a broader settlement and not as part of a ceasefire deal. The Egyptians are making efforts to reach an agreement that would focus on an unconditional truce.
Hang on, we'll be back right after the break.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food. offering a 10% discount for all military personnel.
And Andrew, you go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Sorry, do you want to take a minute right now to talk about our website? Well, this is from Gaza here. The Joel says, as of his writing, he wasn't sure if Hamas would stand down their rocket firing after the proposed ceasefire and their announcement that they had finished their work on most of the tunnels. This morning, I've noticed in the latest news that Hamas did not stop and accede to the ceasefire. It looks like they're trying to hold out to make their demands hit harder for lifting the blockade. It looks like over 35 rockets and mortars have been fired at Israel since 8 a.m. this morning. They say, well, apparently Hamas said at the last talk that they were going to continue firing. Joel says, I can't help but think that they want time to rebuild. If Israel gives them another 8 years, like the last time, wherein Hamas imported tons of arms and rockets, despite the flimsy blockade that was in place, the future war would be a really big one. But that's really what Israeli globalists like Netanyahu want, an excuse to finally convince Israelis that they need international peacekeepers to keep the peace. And that's a foot in the door for global control. We probably won't see that until a major Middle East war is unleashed. The next story is whether or not the leader of ISIS is actually a Mossad agent. A dramatic piece of questionable information posted by Veterans Today and others is swirling around the net, claiming that, quote, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the so-called caliph, the head of ISIL, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, which is another word for ISIS, is, according to sources reputed to originate from Edward Snowden, an actor named Elliot Shimon, a Mossad-trained operative. Elliot Shimon, a.k.a. al-Baghdadi, was born of two Jewish parents and is a Mossad agent, end quote. While it is highly probable that the Mossad is involved in the U.S.-directed attempt to influence and supply ISIS with arms to help overthrow Assad in Syria, the claim that the quote-unquote caliph is Jewish sounds like propaganda, and the source wasn't, in fact, Edward Snowden. So says, I read the original three French articles, and every one of them mentioned that the source is the Iran intelligence or Iranian media, and none of those sources give any actual evidence for the claim. They just quote the Iranians, who are hardly a disinterested party in all this. The published picture of caliph and his parents isn't definitive. His parents don't look particularly Jewish at all. Switching to Russia's latest moves in Ukraine and probing U.S. borders, Bill Gertz, who tracks all the war moves of the Russians and Chinese in the Washington Free Beacon, noted this week that, quote, Russian strategic nuclear bombers conducted at least 16 incursions into northwestern U.S. air defense identification zones over the past 10 days. An unusually sharp increase in aerial penetration, according to U.S. defense officials. The numerous flight encounters by Tu-95 Russian Bear H bombers prompted the scrambling of U.S. jet fighters on several occasions and come amid heightened U.S.-Russia tensions over Ukraine. Major Beth Smith, spokeswoman for U.S. Northern Command and the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, called the Russian flight a spike in activity, but sought to play down the threat, stating the flights were assessed as routine training missions and exercises. However, other defense officials said the large number of aerial incursions is very unusual and harkens back to the Cold War, when Soviet bombers frequently sought to trigger air defenses along the periphery of U.S. territory as preparation for a nuclear conflict, end quote. Joel says, this is all about prepping for future electronic jamming. All modern warfare defenses against cruise missiles, bombers, and ballistic missiles depend upon a combination of satellite surveillance and land-based over-the-horizon radar. Long-range radars have many discrete digital frequencies within the long-range band, and Russia needs to probe and detect those frequency patterns often in order to know how to design electronic jammers for bear bombers that have no stealth capability. The same for cruise missiles and possibly even for incoming ICBMs. The Russians pass all of this data on to their allies, the Chinese. They also work hard to detect and decipher U.S. scrambled electronic communications. You'll find the Ruskies eavesdropping on every U.S. operation in the Middle East. The U.S. and NATO try not to display all of their frequency possibilities in order to deny Russia this data. So it's a constant game of cat and mouse. In addition, Russia is expected to increase surveillance probes of U.S. defenses prior to a preemptive strike, and thus keep the U.S. from detecting a prelude to a strike. The Russians will periodically increase penetration and surveillance strikes toward U.S. and Canadian borders so that U.S. responders won't know what is real and what is a feint. Meanwhile, on the Ukraine front, the pro-Russian separatist forces are bottled up in two cities now, both under siege, Donetsk and Luhansk. It's possible Russia is planning an incursion to allow for a breakout. This, according to Reuters. Quote, Russia has massed around 20,000 combat-ready troops on Ukraine's border and could use the pretext of a humanitarian mission to invade, NATO said on Wednesday, its starkest warning yet that Moscow would soon mount a ground assault against its neighbor. With fighting escalating and rebels losing ground in the week since a Malaysian airliner was shot down over separatist-held territory, Russia has announced military exercises this week in the border region. We're not going to guess what's on Russia's mind, but we can see that Russia is doing on the ground, and that is of great concern. Russia has amassed around 20,000 combat-ready troops on Ukraine's eastern border, NATO spokeswoman Oana Lungescu said in an emailed statement. Moscow could use, quote, the pretext of a humanitarian or peacekeeping mission as an excuse to send troops into eastern Ukraine, she said. Since June, government troops have gained ground against the rebels who are led almost exclusively by Russian citizens and have managed to acquire tanks, missiles, and other heavy weaponry that Kiev and its Western allies say can only have come from across the frontier. Kiev said 18 Ukrainian servicemen had been killed and 54 injured in 25 separate clashes over the past day in eastern Ukraine. Military spokesman Andriy Lysenko said troops had been shelled from inside Russian territory and frontier guards had come under a four-hour mortar and artillery attack. Kiev's military offensive has pushed the rebels out of many of their strongholds, leaving them largely besieged in the cities of Donetsk and Luhansk, which the rebels have proclaimed capitals of two, quote, people's republics, end quote. Residents in Donetsk, east of Ukraine's main industrial hub, and now the principal rebel redoubt, said Ukrainian warplanes had carried out airstrikes overnight, end quote. Joel says the bottling up of Russia's stealth invasion forces in these two cities effectively blocks any further growth of the separatist movement unless Russia either invades or starts up another uprising elsewhere to take the pressure off of Donetsk and Luhansk. If Russia does invade, it runs the risk of forcing NATO and the U.S. to respond, reluctant as the globalists are to start a war before Russia's ready. Keep in mind the globalists want a preemptive nuclear strike to take out U.S. military forces so globalists can drive Americans into accepting a global government to win the war. But it is also possible...
All those thoughts will be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. for your free consultation and no-obligation quote. Give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Well, I stand here at the American Freedom Network, but before we go on, Andrew, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and then, of course, how they can get his book on strategic relocation, building certainly a safe home, etc.
Yes, certainly, Dr. Stan. Thank you very, very much. The best way is for people to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's a large button to sign up for the brief. That, of course, keeps them in the loop of the most current analysis of the world and its threats. We try to keep up to date on what's going on so that we can help alert people to some of the threats that we foresee in our book. If people would like to get our book, they should go to joelskousen.com, which is also a link on worldaffairsbrief.com. On joelskousen.com, there is a listing of all of Joel's works, the foremost of which is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. In this book, we lay out first what the threats are that we foresee facing us in the U.S. It highlights some of the common expat areas around the world, and we give a review of those. And then it delves in depth into North America, the United States and Canada specifically, and highlights some of the areas that we expect will be safer or that people can relocate to in hard times. Excuse me. Once people have found a strategic retreat option, they should prepare that retreat site, and for that they should probably get one of our other two books. The Secure Home highlights everything about a house and the surrounding area and how to secure it. We talk about ways to conceal things, how to put in a secure room, how to ventilate it, how to put in alternate energy systems. It's a large book and has most of the survival information that Joel has gleaned over the years designing high-security residences. If people want just a smaller guide for do-it-yourself projects in their existing conditions, if they can't move away for whatever reason but still want to implement some kind of security features in their existing house, they should probably get the high-security shelter, how to implement a safe room, a multi-purpose safe room in the home. And this is a smaller book. It's cheaper. It's only about $25. And it has maps, but complete plans about how to put together a do-it-yourself shelter, in preferably a basement location, but it basically, illustrates how to line a room with cinder block and build a concrete roof overhead that will be sturdy and strong, and then, stock it with supplies. We have ideas for a basic solar battery setup and get people some basic preparedness features. Like I say, those are available on joelskousen.com. If you want to order those by phone, you can call Radio Liberty. Right, Dr. Stan?
At 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you don't have the book, we recommend them. We're moving into difficult times. We're going to see increasing civil unrest in America, and you certainly want an alternative. You want to be able to look after yourself and your family during the very difficult times that lie ahead. Right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're wondering what Russia's going to do now that Ukraine has most of the pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine surrounded. Joel says, it is possible that Russia could do a quick cross-border strike to scatter the Ukraine forces, break the siege, and then retreat again before the West could finish their diplomatic bluster and still not provoke an attack by the U.S. and NATO. It would also serve as a probe to see how strongly the West would react or if there would be any response at all. But if there is a short invasion, it's still too early for all-out war. At some point, sooner or later, Russia will carve out and annex part of eastern Ukraine before World War III, whether through its stealth invasion troops or by open penetration by Russian troops. But they can take their time since Ukraine's government is really not in the pocket of the West, as I've explained in prior briefings. In that vein, let's talk about the MH17 fighter shootdown theory. A German-speaking airline pilot, Peter Hysenko, published a piece last week about the evidence that points to a shootdown of MH17 in Ukraine by cannon fire from a fighter jet. He says, quote, first, I was amazed at how few photos can be found from the records with Google. All are in low resolution except one, the fragment of the cockpit below the window on the pilot's side. This image, and he has a link, however, is shocking. Given this particular cockpit image, it does not surprise me at all. Entry and exit impact holes of projectiles in the cockpit area. Joel inserts, I recommend to click on the link above. It's a high-resolution PDF. The quote continues, the facts speak clear and loud and are beyond the realm of speculation. The cockpit shows traces of shelling. You can see the entry and exit holes. The edge of a portion of the holes is bent inwards. These are the smaller holes, round and clean, showing the entry point most likely is that of a 30-millimeter caliber projectile. The edge of the other, the larger and slightly frayed exit holes, showing shreds of metal pointing, produced by the same caliber projectiles. Moreover, it is evidence that at these exit holes of the outer layer of a double aluminum reinforced structure are shredded or bent outwardly. Furthermore, minor cuts can be seen all bent outward, which indicate that shrapnel had forcefully exited through the outer skin from the inside of the cockpit. The open rivets are also bent outward. So what could have happened? Russia recently published radar recordings that confirm at least one Ukrainian Su-25 in close proximity to MH-017. This corresponds with the statement of the now-missing Spanish controller, quote-unquote, Carlos, that has seen two Ukrainian fighter aircraft in the immediate vicinity of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. If we now consider the armament of a typical Su-25, we learn this. It is equipped with a double-barrel 30-millimeter type gun, type GSH-302/AO-17A, equipped with 250-round magazine of anti-tank incendiary shells and splinter explosive shells, arranged in alternating order. The cockpit of the MH-17 has...
Oh, we're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission? That certainly was a large commission. Where's the gold? It's a very, very big commission. Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold, and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, question is, what brought down the planes? Was the machine gun fire? Were the planes? And of course, if you get the whole story, it would appear that the two fighter planes, one was approaching the plane from one side, the other from the other, both firing into the cockpit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is all a made-up story. They're putting out all of this information to confuse you. Is the German pilot lying? Possibly not. If there's a picture of it, certainly they could have taken a piece of wreckage. They could have made it look like that. So you're going to get a lot of stories about what happened to confuse you, giving you all sorts of information, overloading you with information. The one unanswered question is, why did they bring the plane down? Or was this simply to create an incident to justify the military action that has taken place? And I suspect that's what it's really all about. You have to understand that playing games with your mind, you're going to get a lot of disinformation. We may never know what brought the plane down. I suspect it was a missile of some sort, whether it was from the ground, whether it was from the planes. Why? You're going to hear all sorts of conflicting information intentionally to confuse you. Don't be confused. Understand they're playing games with your mind. But the one thing is for certain, and that is that we're moving into difficult times. We're going to see increasing conflict between the United States and Russia as a prelude to war. And whether it'll be an EMP attack, whether it'll be a major war, a minor war, time only is going to tell. But we do know what the prophecies tell us. And if you read Revelation 6:8, you find out that there is a great war that is going to kill 25% of the population of the world. And then, of course, following that, there's going to be another war that's going to kill another third of the world's population. We're moving into difficult, frightening times. And the most important thing you can do is have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, I suggest you get down on your knees and ask him to come in and take control of your life. I did that 50 years ago, really quite skeptical. I didn't believe it. But if I got down on my knees and asked God to come into my life, it would change my life. But it did. It did for me, and it'll do the same thing for you. And if you need some help in your relationship with the Lord, you can always call us at 1-800-544-8927. And we'll do everything we can to help you.